Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, as always, we are very thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio. We're continuing our study today in Revelation chapter 4. And if you've been with us the past few days, you know the context here is very important. As we look at the book of Revelation, we see that the context for this, these visions, come to a church that is being persecuted, a church that is in struggle, the church of Jesus Christ in struggle throughout this present evil age. And in the first century, these Christians were really suffering. They were really struggling with affliction and hardship, and because of that, even facing compromises, doing compromising things in the ministry. And these visions here, especially in chapter 4 and 5, were meant to show the church the true realities in heaven, to encourage the church to be strong in the midst of tribulation and hardship, to not lose heart. Remember, Jesus told that little parable, and he told that little parable about a woman who kept crying out to get justice, and the wicked ruler would not give it, but because she came and just kept bugging the ruler to death, finally he got justice for her. The Lord encouraged the church there by saying, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. The Lord will do what is right. He hears the cries of his elect. They rise up day and night to him, and he will answer them speedily. Well, that's Revelation. Revelation is picturing here our prayers as bowls of incense coming before the throne. Yesterday, we considered two symbols that declare to the church the Lord's peace and protection over them in the midst of their struggle here on earth. The first was the sea of glass like crystal. Remember, that was set in contrast to what often is pictured as the sea of this world, likened to that which is evil and in turbulence and in hardship and much violence. The sea is a place of the abyss, the place of darkness, the place of struggle here on earth. And there in heaven, the sea is calm, clear as glass. And the Lord's encouraging us. He's using the imagery of Exodus. Remember when the children of Israel were on the front part of that sea, before it was opened, it was turbulent, and behind them and all around were the Egyptians and warriors coming to destroy them. Picturing the evil armies of this world, the kingdom of darkness under the devil, and seeking to destroy the children of God. But there the Lord parted the sea, and once they had passed over, when they turned around and looked back, that sea, Exodus tells us, the depths congealed, they became firm. The sea became like glass. God's enemies had been destroyed. God had protected them. And so on the other side, we need to remember, there is an unseen reality that there is a calm sea for God's people. There is, Peter says, heaven reserved for you who believe. And even though we are in the turbulent sea of this world, our citizenship is where? In heaven, where Christ dwells. That's why we should set our minds on things above. That was the first symbol. And then the second symbol was the rainbow. And we know that the rainbow always declared God's faithfulness. And it declared that God would not destroy the earth again with water and a flood. It's the declaration that in heaven, for his people, the storm of his wrath is over. And so there, all because Christ has gone before, the Lord is encouraging John in the midst of tribulation on the island of Patmos and a struggling people with these things. I don't know what you're going through today, but if you're a believer, maybe you've struggled with the challenge that if Jesus Christ is reigning, and Jesus Christ is all supreme and all powerful, has numbered the very hairs of our head, why are we in this kind of struggle? Why does he permit and allow, and why does he decree all sorts of things to happen, and we are in the midst of that? Why suffering? Why through much tribulation we enter the kingdom? That's what Revelation's all about. It's showing us that we carry about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is refining us, that when we are weak, dear listener, it's then we're at our greatest strength. Remember Paul learned that with a thorn in the flesh? All of these encouragements come out that God will work together all things for good to those who are the called according to his purposes. So here we are. This is what we've seen, these two symbols. And now we transition a bit and we look more into what is going on around the throne. In verse 6, it says that in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. Now, I said, to interpret Revelation correctly, to understand its imagery and symbolism, you have to understand it's using all of the garb and all of the language of the Old Testament. This imagery here in Revelation 4 is something that is directly tied to the vision that Ezekiel received in chapter 1. Ezekiel was also in the spirit. Judah, God's people, were in captivity in Babylon. They had been hauled off there. The temple and the land had been ruined, and the question for them was, has God abandoned us? Is he really with us? It's at that moment that by the river Chebar, Ezekiel sees a glorious fire chariot. It had wheels and it was on the move. And Ezekiel says around the throne were these four living creatures. You know what they were? They were the cherubim. And whatever the Lord decreed, whatever he said, they went and they did and they saw everything in the direction that he sent them. Their wings stretched up and touched one another, forming a fence. They utterly surrounded the throne and the glory of God. There were no cracks in that fence. They shielded that glory. God was completely walled off by the wings of the cherubim because his glory would consume anything that came into his presence. There was a massive firewall. Nothing but continuous lights and glory radiation, like torches passing between them. You know what that is? It was God on fire in their midst. Red and yellow flashes forming a wall that if anyone even came close to, they were incinerated. And above the firmament and over their heads, says Ezekiel, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also, the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the presence of his waist and downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Likewise, the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face. You see, dear listener, Revelation emphasizes the same imagery around the throne, that these seven lamps are burning. There, the Holy Spirit is there in all of his Shekinah glory radiation. And there, the cloud is above. And every time these lightnings and thunderings and voices are spoken of, they come in the context of judgments on the earth. What does all of this mean? He was assuring the persecuted church that the Spirit sees everything. And that throughout history, these cherubim and seraphim have executed whatever the Lord has decreed. In fact, they are executing the judgments upon the wicked of the earth. Now, this is so important for us, isn't it? The message here is very clear. We're not just getting some kind of vision of heaven. What we're getting, dear listener, is a picture of the entire universe from heaven. And he is showing us the single great truth that everything that is happening here on this earth is being sovereignly governed by the Lord from that throne, which is set in the heavenly places. This doesn't remove us from the tribulations of this world. This is what Christians have totally denied today and not understood about the Christian life. Through much tribulation we enter, through much suffering. It's when we're weak, then we're strong. Fiery trials will hit us. All of these are designed and sent from that throne. We're not exempt from this. Famines, pestilences, earthquakes. But it was to his people that Jesus said, in the midst of these horrors, don't be alarmed. Remember that in Matthew 24? There'll be famines, pestilences, earthquakes. There will be judgments from heaven coming upon this earth. Don't be alarmed. How could he say that? He knows many of you, if you're a Christian today, will suffer terrible things. Listen, it's one thing to suffer thinking it's a judgment from God. Then I go through it with no perspective. Then I'm bitter. I forget why I'm here. But it's quite another thing to face these things with the perspective that the Lord has ordained it for my good. And that these things that happen on the earth, these awful disasters, even though I can't understand always why they happen, I can understand that they must come to pass because the Lord Jesus Christ has begun to exercise from heaven his judgment upon the wickedness and the kingdoms of darkness on this earth that are seeking to destroy his people. That we can know. But a Christian who forgets this, a Christian who thinks, like Joel Osteen, that the glory is now, have your best life now, now is the time. They're in denial of what their whole lives are supposed to tell. The story they are supposed to tell. That we carry about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are showing the world through our sufferings that we carry a cross, which is telling the story ultimately of what Jesus has done for us. And a Christian who forgets this and forgets his purpose and fails to understand the sovereignty over God, of God in his life, even over the afflictions and hardships, what does that produce? A Christian who forgets this looks a lot like the compromises that happened in the first chapters of Revelation that the Lord had to expose in his churches. Forgetting about this, forgetting about God's sovereignty, forgetting that everything has a purpose, forgetting that everything has a plan, forgetting that all things are working out together for good, and that I don't have to fight against that, and I don't even have to be anxious about anything. I can entrust everything to the Lord who will protect me and guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. When I forget that, you know what it does to me as a Christian? What did you see in the churches? Lukewarmness, compromise, neglect, and worst of all, failure in the witness. Do you believe the Lord is in control of everything and that he's working out, as Romans says, all things together for good to those who are the called according to his purposes? That should affect how we live as Christians, how we forgive, how we love, how our lives become living sacrifices showing forth the truth of Christ and his gospel. You see, that's why we're here. We've got a story to tell. The world is in darkness. It perishes for a lack of knowledge. We've got a knowledge. We've got an understanding. We've got the Holy Spirit who sees what we're going through and has promised to strengthen us. But may we see everything that descends from that throne as an opportunity to be his witnesses and faithful in the earth, to declare that Jesus Christ is the supreme king over all, and all must bow and believe in him. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, so we humbly ask for both your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.